You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name.
Brother Chet, can you lead us in an opening prayer?
Yes, sir. God, we thank you again for this Sabbath and this day you've set aside for rest and renewal, and we thank you for this body, this group of your believers you've called together. We ask that you would be in our midst. We thank you for being with those that aren't with us here today, and we just still want to rejoice in you and your presence. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Don't be surprised if, on a special day, God does something unusual. And what I mean is that we shouldn't be surprised if God answers our prayers or he steps up to direct us on a day that is strategically timely. So let me give you a couple of New Testament examples. On the day of Pentecost, well, that was an excellent day for God to do something unusual. Why? Because on that day there were many Jews from throughout the Mediterranean area, from many countries, in Jerusalem. It was a day that offered a strategic opportunity for God's Holy Spirit to be poured out. On that day, Christianity erupted on the scene, and God's message of forgiveness and salvation began to spread like wildfire. Well, here's another one, another great special day where God did something unusual. Zechariah was having a special day. He was a priest, and he was chosen to burn incense in the temple. Maybe he thought he was just lucky. He was only one priest among hundreds, but he was chosen by a drawing to have the duty of burning the incense. But he wasn't prepared for what was about to happen. He wasn't anticipating anything supernatural to take place. To him, burning the incense was just a ritual. But what happened was unexpected. Suddenly, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him, "Your prayer has been heard." What do you think Zechariah thought when he heard that? Maybe he thought something like, "Prayer? What prayer? I think I remember praying for a son, but that was 25 or 30 years ago." But then the angel Gabriel continued, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." So let me paraphrase how Zechariah then responded to the angel Gabriel. "That's not possible. Have you looked at my wife lately? She's way past the age of bearing a child." See, the truth is, Zechariah wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for God's answer. And that's a lesson for all of us. Any prayer in the will of God will be answered. How can I say this definitively? Because Scripture tells us, 1 John chapter 5, 14, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." In the Jewish way of thinking, to hear in this context meant to do or to respond. God will respond to your request if that request is in his will. We can never make God do anything that isn't in his will. But if you ask according to his will, Scripture tells us that he hears. The determining factor is that big if. If we know his will, we can pray out of his will. We can also pray in the will of God and not be aware of it. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth seem to have done that. They prayed in the will of God, but they didn't know it. God didn't move right away to answer their prayer. So they most likely assumed that it wasn't God's will. But it was God's will. And when God moved to answer his prayer, Zechariah wasn't ready. So he argued with the angel. And why would he do that? Because he wasn't spiritually ready. Zechariah's prayer was about to be answered. The angel delivered the good news, but because Zechariah didn't believe it, he experienced an unexpected outcome. He wasn't able to speak until the day of the birth of his son, John the Baptist. Now let's consider that story about Zechariah for a little bit more. Any prayer that you make in the will of God will be answered. But the shape your answered prayer takes is determined by your readiness at the time. Zechariah wasn't ready. His friends were very happy, especially after a few months when they saw his wife was pregnant. But his only reply was what? He couldn't speak. He was humbled. His story should give us encouragement to go back and continue praying for things we may have given up on. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience to be ready when God answers our prayers. God's answers have a way of showing up when we don't expect them. We need to be open to their unexpected timing, their unexpected results. We may even find that God answers to a particular prayer right in front of us, but we don't recognize the answer. This happened in the Bible to an entire country. When Jesus approached Jerusalem for the last time, he was saddened because his chosen people did not recognize him. He said, "They will level you to the ground, you and those who live within your city limits. they will not leave one stone on another within your walls, because you didn't recognize the time when you were visited. Luke chapter 19, verse 44. You could not have convinced anyone in Israel in those days that if the Messiah would come, they wouldn't be ready for him. Israel had been waiting for over 1,300 years. They were looking for a prophet like Moses. They knew he would come through the line of David. But Jews were, at least in those days, they were very selective in the prophecies they paid attention to. They did not take heed to all of the messianic prophecies. The Messiah came, they did not recognize him. God wants to make an impact on our lives. He wants to answer our prayers. The problem is that too often we tell him how to answer. Sometimes his answer is a result of our obedience and he blesses us. Other times his answer is a result of our desperation, and that when we repent, he blesses us and we're forgiven. We pray to God and we ask him for his presence to show us the way he would have us to go. And sometimes God answers our prayers in a way we don't expect. Example from the Old Testament. When Elijah took shelter in a cave on Mount Horeb, God appeared to him, but not in the way he expected. God told him to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. What happened? A powerful wind broke off some of the rocks around him, but we are told that the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, there was a fire. Elijah must have wondered what was going on. He knew that God had manifested himself this way before. He knew that God had led the Israelites from Egypt in a pillar of fire. But the Lord was not in the fire either. Then after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. Some versions call it a gentle voice. When Elijah heard that whisper, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Always liked that line. What are you doing here? The Lord appeared to him in a way that he had not expected. I firmly believe that God wants to answer the prayers in our lives. The problem is too often is we tell him how he's supposed to do it. We have a certain expectation. And when that doesn't happen, we think God isn't answering our prayer. And answered prayer is often simply staring us in the face. We don't see it. God may speak quietly, yet in a powerful manner. It may be many months or even years before we realize it. What we need to hope for is the ability to recognize the moment when God speaks. Does God tell us what he's doing? Sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. And when he does, we need to be able to recognize what he's doing. I want the Holy Spirit within me to have enough control of my senses so that I will recognize when God is answering my prayers. If I am in the presence of the Lord, when the Lord is answering my prayers, I want the Holy Spirit within me to overrule my biases and my false instincts so I can see and recognize what God is doing. God is in control. I'm convinced of that. Sometimes we miss what God is doing in another person, or we miss God's answer to our prayers, and only later do we recognize his answer. Sometimes fear dominates us, even when God is all around us. Sometimes we don't recognize God's answer because we're disappointed. Yeah, we're disappointed in God's answer. That's not what I wanted, God. And sometimes we're blind to God's presence because God is strategically controlling the situation. Maybe at the community level, maybe even at the world level. Sometimes when we see the way things turn out, our immediate reaction is, God can't be in this. That's not what I expected. But think on this. Jesus, Isaiah's root out of dry ground, ended up hanging on a cross. You remember that great spiritual song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" If you were there, I can assure you, you would have only seen a crucifixion. What hint was there that this man on the cross, with blood coming from his hands, his feet, his forehead, his back, his side, what hint was there that this was the actual Son of God dying for the sins of the world? There was no hint at the time that this was God's only begotten Son reconciling the world to his Father through this sacrifice. The Scriptures foretold his coming and his sacrifice, but you, if you were there, you would not have realized it. And you're arrogant if you think you would have. Nobody else there did. No one did until Pentecost arrived. Yes, it wasn't until later, when Jesus later sent his Father's Holy Spirit to the people, were they enabled to understand what really happened. Sometimes it's really hard for me to comprehend God's love for people. Sometimes I just don't get it. How can God love humanity considering what humanity does? The wars, the evil. And we do some good too, but there's so much evil out there. It's easier for me to believe that God is in control or that he works things out for the good of those who love him, but it's really hard to comprehend a love like God's love. How can he love us? Jeremiah said that God's people are loved with an everlasting love. And then Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." That is an incredible love. Jesus left his position of richness and glory with the Father. He became poor for our sakes. It's difficult to understand that kind of love. But as dazzling as that is, it gets even better. Jesus told us that God loves us as much as he loves his Son. Think on that. That's really difficult to fathom. It's comforting to realize that we are made in God's image. Perhaps with that comfort, we can feel in some small measure how much we are loved. And God loves his Son. God said so. When his voice came from the heavens, when Jesus was baptized, God said out loud, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." His voice was heard again on the Mount of Transfiguration. "You are my Son, whom I love." No, I'm sorry, that was the first one. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Mark chapter 9, verse 7. There's no doubt that God loved and that he loves Jesus. So you would think that nothing could possibly cause Jesus to leave his position in heaven to come here to this earth to live among humankind. Yet what does Romans chapter 8, verse 17 say? John 17, verses 22 and 23. Sorry. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now that's powerful, and that's hard to understand. I don't understand God's reasoning for choosing us, but I do know that God's reason for choosing us is not based upon what we do. If it was based upon what we do, we'd be in big trouble. God loves us. He has chosen us. And when we in turn choose him, we dignify his choice in us. Even if we feel unworthy. His grace and his plans for us take into account our failings, our unbelief, our selfishness, our fears. Because Jesus died as our sacrifice on the cross, whatever impediment, fault, failure, or defect we have is washed away by his blood. He didn't die for us because he saw we were going to be always right. He didn't die for us because we were up to his standard. He died for us because we were broken. His special creation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." This is what we rely on. It's not our love for him that we rely on. We're wishy-washy. It's his love for us that we rely on. It's a life-changing truth that God really loves us. It's a wonderful feeling to grasp this truth, that God really loves us, his creation. We all have bad moments when we feel unworthy. Sometimes your heart condemns you, but God is greater than your heart. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This verse was written some 2,000 years ago, and today we are still asking for mercy. We never outgrow asking for mercy. And how are we directed to ask for mercy? Confidently. Why? Because Scripture teaches us that God loves us in spite of ourselves, and it's not our love for him, it's his love for us. God wants us to affirm his love. We need to say, "Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I do know that you love me." It doesn't take a lot of faith to affirm his love when everything's going right, when you're on top of the world. But if you're down at the bottom, you've been left along the side of the road in life, and you can still say, I know you love me, Lord God. You know what? God will be pleased with you. Very pleased. But also, don't forget to affirm his love when you're happy. In whatever situation you find yourself in, you need to affirm God's love. He is the one with whom you can share your happiness better than with anyone else. He's not jealous of any of your victories or success. Rather, God wants to draw near to you because of his great love for you. He wants to make his presence felt in your life, even when we feel the most unworthy. God just keeps on loving us. And Scripture teaches us that he loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. Hallelujah.
Son of David,